This is your girl, Sana Star, coming to you with another episode of A Day in the Life of the Alpha Woman, the official podcast of the Easy Breezy Life Community. Before I jump into today's topic, if this is your first time joining us, the Easy Breezy Life is a community of strong-willed women who understand that it can be so challenging to manage faith, family, life, and pursue our goals. Well, here at the Easy Breezy Life, you're going to find a community of like-minded women who are just as fierce, focused, and fired up as you are. It's also important that I let you know that everything we share on this platform is for education and entertainment purposes only. Because we believe that the Easy Breezy Life is a group project, we want you to seek out professional help in every way, shape, or form that you might need it. We are going to take a brief break, and we'll be back with this week's episode. Want to know how I save tons of money on a Caribbean vacation while earning cash back? It's easy. The answer is Rakuten. Sign up online today using the link in our episode notes so you can start saving and earning cash back on your favorite online stores. Hey boos, how are you? So it feels like it's been a really long time since I've been able to come on here and do some girl chat with y'all. And I thought, what better time than today? Before I do get started, I want to mention that if you're not already following us on Instagram, please head over to the Easy Breezy Life Instagram page. Myself and a fellow creator, Mimiology, are participating in a bi-weekly book study or book read. And it has been super interesting. What's unique about the way we're doing this book discussion is if you buy a copy of the book, which right now we are doing Adulting, Faith, Friendships, Finances, and the Future. And I will link to that in our episode notes if you want to grab a copy. But if you buy a copy of the book and you jump onto the live, we'll actually feature you and just include you in our conversations. So I think it's been super interesting because this past week we had an apostle as well as a young man joining us from all the way in Nigeria to talk about their experience with community and money and relationships and making the choices that are best for us. I love this format because it is a shared learning experience and we all get to gain something from one another. So do head over to IG and follow us, and I would love to see your face on the live. The next time that we're going to be going live is going to be on Tuesday the 13th. Is Tuesday even the 13th? Yes, it is. Tuesday the 13th, we will be live again. This being said, I want to get into our conversation because what I find is that no matter how far along I get on this journey, I'm constantly revisiting love and boundaries and what it looks like to be loving without being a people pleaser, what it looks like to be in community without being a people pleaser, what it looks like to put God first, my relationship first, but also me first. It's a lot of firsts, right? And so I thought it would be a good idea for us to revisit that discussion, or at the very least to share with you how my thoughts on love and boundaries have evolved over the years. Now, if you've been following us, you know that we're 9 seasons in, and I believe that our first podcast episode was in the winter of 2019, which was a huge, huge deal for me. It was a leap of faith. It was a walk of faith. But I have to tell you that doing this podcast is one of my most favorite parts of the Easy Breezy Life. Granted, I love everything that I do in Easy Life. I love our blog, all of our newsletters, all of our discussions, all of our social media platforms. However, I love being able to come on here and just have this girl chat conversation. And this truly is a highlight of my entire week. Like, it fills my heart with joy. This being said, let's get into it. Our conversation today is focusing on love and boundaries because it just doesn't get old, right? No matter how much I evolve on this journey, I find myself constantly revisiting what love and boundaries looks like for me in this season. What does healthy relationship look like in this season? And I want to share how my mindset may have shifted, but also things that are the same. So first things first, whether you're in a relationship and that relationship is romantic or it's a friendship or even our familial relationships, I think love and boundaries and having, I don't know, a balanced scale of both in every relationship that we have is so, so important. And I say this because I think love is a word that carries a lot of weight and meaning. And in the context of relationships, it really creates the foundation that we build everything else on, or you at least you hope it does, right? However, in my life, I've learned that we are all defining love differently, and that in some degrees, people even have little buckets of love that are different, right? So I mentioned in the live, if you go back and watch it, that growing up, my father really focused on encouraging me and my siblings to be one another's friends and to build community in that way. And he very rarely encouraged us to build community externally, which worked because as kids, there were 8 of us and always a cousin or somebody. And there were neighborhood kids on our street who lived there who were also in small families. And so we really didn't feel like we were missing out. And I'll tell you what, I look back and I don't feel like I missed out. I don't wish I had a childhood full of more friends because I actually love being friends with my siblings. This being said, as I grew up and had to go on a college campus, which was really my first time being away from my family, go into the workplace, go into other community organizations or the church and make, quote, friends, unquote, I found that my definition of love varied drastically than others because I'd only learned how to do sibling love. I'd only learned how to love the way that I love my parents and my brothers and sisters. And how many of y'all know that it is tricky and dangerous to love the world, right? Or to love people outside of that nucleus in the same way. And so I had to learn the hard way how to create different pockets of love, or as a woman I greatly respect taught me, how to love people at their level, how to honor relationship at the level that they should be honored, and how to not mistake, let's say, a sis at church for my blood sister. This being said, I like to say that like I have very few friends, but I got a lot of sisters, right? Whether those sisters are blood bound or whether those sisters are from church, I consider anyone that I get close to my sister. However, I have learned that there is a special place in my heart, a special understanding, a special connection with my actual blood sisters. I am so fortunate that I had a mother, that I had a father who, I don't even want to say forced us to create this bond, but was intentional about saying that conflict was not the end for us, and that even in conflict, we had to learn to love each other unconditionally. And I can honestly say that the relationship I have with my sisters today has come from a repeated pattern of showing up for each other in one another's lives, of sacrificing for one another, of celebrating one another, and just wanting the best for one another and backing each other when it mattered the most, and making it clear to others that this relationship was our priority. And I love the bond that we share. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I also recognize that I'm incredibly privileged and lucky to have my two built-in best friends. This being said, I have also learned all the over time that it is possible to hold space and love others while acknowledging that because of families of origin and the way that we grew up, I can never really fully, and this might be debatable, you might not agree, but I don't believe that I can ever really fully love a sister who is not one of the two who grew up with me to the same level of degree and intensity as the ones that I love, the ones that I shared a bunk bed with. You get? All right. This being said, what does it really mean to love somebody in a healthy way? I've learned over time and continue to practice that love is about respect. It's about kindness. It's really about support. Yo, I'm heavy on the support, working on the kindness, just to be honest. It's about accepting our partner, our friends, our family members for who they are without trying to change them. It means being there for them through the good times and the bad and offering them a shoulder to lean on when they need it. And sometimes it just means sitting in silence for me, I think it's so important that when I say I love someone, that I'm loving them in word and deed, right? That I'm honoring them in word and deed, that I'm trying my best in the inside of my heart to do that. And when I fall short, acknowledging that and trying to make amends and make things right. However, I'm also learning that love should never ever come at the cost of my own well-being. And that is why boundaries are so important. And that is why boundaries have to be in the picture. Boundaries, for me, are the guidelines that I set for myself to maintain my emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being within my relationships. There is not a relationship in my life that does not come with a boundary. Every relationship in my life, and I can gladly say this as I continue to refine and work on them, has a boundary. I have a boundary with my husband. I have a boundary with my sons. I've created a boundary with myself and work. I've created a boundary with my siblings, with my family. And I have to tell you that it is leading to a healthier life. It is leading to what I believe is the easy breezy life. One of the greatest boundaries that I had to set in my life, especially being a social worker and someone who likes to support others, is releasing myself from the expectation that the outcome of someone's life, the outcome of someone's choices, was my responsibility. Case in point, let's say I'm mentoring someone and I really want something amazing for that person, and I do everything within my power to support them, to give them the resources and the accesses to make the right decision. And they go ahead and make a decision that is contrary to the one that I was hoping that they would make, that I felt as their mentor would lead them to greater success. The boundary in that relationship looks like releasing myself from my mentee's choices and the outcome of my mentee's life, as difficult as it could be, to love on people, to pray for people, to support people, and then to literally release them as I continue to love on them, creates the healthy boundary in the relationship that allows us to each continue to thrive in our own individuality. So we have to create these boundaries or these guidelines so that we know that we cannot want something for someone else more than they want it, right? And that also we are not God, because so often we feel so down, we feel so depressed, we get so down on ourselves when someone else has a failure, and you start wearing the burdens of other people and wearing burdens God never intended for you to wear. So it's so important to strike a healthy balance. I also want to share that boundaries is not about building up walls or shutting people out. It's really about creating healthy space, right? When we establish boundaries and we communicate our needs, our desires, and our limits, then we get to watch and decide if the people around us will honor those things. In turn, when we find ourselves in a relationship where those boundaries are constantly being dishonored, we also have the autonomy and self-respect to choose a different choice. And if y'all follow me, you know that I am liberal about choosing my choice. I am clear about choosing my choice. I am unapologetic about choosing my choice. There are people who feel that some of my tactics are extreme, or they might call them stonewalling or shutting people out. I say that I like to clearly communicate boundaries to people, and that in general, if I get to the place where I have to mute, unfollow, block someone, that means that I have verbally or in many other ways communicated a boundary that the person on the other end has demonstrated that they have an inability to maintain. And as such, I decide that I'm going to help the both of us by creating a clear line of delineation of where I'm willing to engage with people, or what kind of relationships I'm willing to have with people based on how they've proven themselves to be, and how I am, and how those two personalities or ways of being might conflict with one another. And because we're all adults, I allow people to walk out of my life. Healthy relationship and boundaries have doors. People get to choose whether they stay or go. And it should never feel like choke or hold love. I'm going to say that one more time. Healthy relationships do not feel like choke or hold love. What's choke or hold love? Choke or hold love is when you, being my friend, automatically qualifies you to have access to information about me, my personal business, my professional business or anything I'm doing. I think when friendship comes with an entitlement aspect to information, dangerous. I don't like that. I think we should all keep a little bit of ourselves to ourselves. And in general, I have learned that I really only want to give people what I'm comfortable with them completely walking away with and never reciprocating. And as I get better with saying, hey, I'm giving you this thing, even if you can't reciprocate it, and I'm okay with you walking away, I find that God also expands my ability to give more freely without expecting a return, right? But I don't, or at the very least, I've gotten into the practice of asking myself, if this person does not return this favor, return this love, return this gesture, will I be okay with what I'm releasing? Then I do it, right? The next thing is, there are some practical ways to really cultivate love and boundaries in our relationship. The first thing is, we always talk about this, communication. Honest and open communication lays the foundation for healthy relationships, right? Being able to express your thoughts, feelings, disagreements, expectations clearly encourages people to do the same, right? And being an active listener is also important, because so often people will ask for feedback. And let me tell you something. I like to believe that I'm a super clear, direct communicator. And a lot of people will be telling me that I didn't tell them what I thought I said. And so being present, empathetic, and validating the emotions of others, I notice that a lot of us are not actually present in conversations. And so we miss key and important details that can be harmful to our relationships. The next thing is, it's vital to understand and respect each person's individuality. My sisters and I are super close, but you will see us in one setting and know that we are totally different individuals. What we like, our friend groups, how we dress, how we do our hair, how we communicate, even our personal boundaries with each other are totally different. And we have learned to love that about each other, okay? My sisters know that I'm going to bring a certain level of intensity that maybe they're not going to see elsewhere. They also know that they can count on my show up. Right? I have another sister who is a nurturer and loves to the extreme. She's super, super sweet. But when she's not, she's not. And then there's one of us who's like a gatekeeper. We believe like it's our responsibility to cover everybody, to protect everyone. And that's just who we are. And over time, we've had to learn and appreciate how our personalities and the way that they manifest in our relationship is different, and to understand that together as a whole, we are better because we balance each other out. And relationships should really be about balance, not sameness, not uniformity, but really about, is the part where you're leaning, do I have a strength in that area? And where I lean, do you have a strength in that area? And I think so often people are offended when they meet a friend who's leaning in an area or strong in an area that they're not, forgetting that the purpose of these relationships, especially God-given relationships, emphasis on that, is for iron to sharpen iron. It's for God to see you got a thing here that you need help with, and that person is the person for you, and vice versa. And let me tell you, I'm learning over and over again that sometimes the people who God chooses for me are not the people I would choose for myself. However, when I say yes to God, when I say yes to His will, I'm always blessed in the process. And so I do also want to take a moment here to say that these relationships that we're talking about, that are in question, we should really be submitting them to God, right? We should be submitting who we befriend. We should be submitting how we carry out our relationships to God. And we should also respect our various differences and see that friendship is not about getting on the same exact page. It's about being maybe in the same book or the general chapter, right? Thirdly, practicing self-care is so crucial. Healthy relationships don't happen if you're not healthy by yourself. I've learned that for me, my recharge time, having my own personal interests, having elbow room, keeping a few things private for myself are critical for the success and health of my personal relationships. And so I don't allow anyone to guilt me into believing that I need to sacrifice all of my free time. I need to sacrifice all of my individuality. I need to sacrifice my, what I like to call my elbow room or boundaries, in order to be in a healthy relationship. When I can't have those things, I become a different person that is not so pleasant. And so I have learned that not just for my sake, but for the sake of everyone, I need to be intentional about recharging and moments away from the crowd so that I can pursue my self-care. Next is learning that conflict is an opportunity for growth, not the end of a thing. I happen to be situated in a community where people are really conflict averse or see conflict as the end. And I don't know if this is my experience in higher education or in social work or just the kind of house I grew up in, but for me, conflict is the necessary piece. Like, me letting somebody know, like, here's where you cross the line, here's what I need, is an important piece of a healthy relationship or friendship. And I think I'm always shocked when people think that conflict means that you don't love them, you don't like them. And perhaps it's the way that we all grow up differently in seeing correction and seeing conflict, and whether or not we see that as a sign of lost love. However, I am learning and actively praying towards getting conflict right. Getting conflict right where I get to hear a person out, they get to hear me out, and practicing, heavy on the practice. No judgment as I listen. Because I have a mind, and maybe you're like me, that moves so quickly that as people talk, I'm making judgments, thoughts, and drawing conclusions based on what I'm hearing, versus hearing the entire thought in its entirety and processing that from a place that is not defensive. So that's work, right? We all got inner work to do in our relationships. Something else that I've noticed is super key is how to maintain those boundaries once you've gotten really close with people, right? And how do I do a self-check-in to see if a relationship is still, one, God's will for me, two, in a season where I need to be close or distant, or three, is it in violation of the way that I love myself and would like for the people around me to love me? Now, this love myself and like for the way people around me love me is not a call to narcissism. It's rather saying, am I kind to myself? Am I compassionate to myself? Am I understanding? Am I integrous with myself? Am I honest with myself? Because when I'm not honest with myself, I really can't be demanding honesty from the people around me. And it is also to say, what I am requiring from relationships, am I first giving? The principle of reaping and sowing and sowing and reaping also works in our relationships. I see a lot of people, a lot of women come to me and be like, my friends don't do this. When I get to know them or spend more time with them, you find out that they also don't do the things that they are accusing their friends of not doing in their life. Therefore, the level of friendship that they put out is the level of friendship that they are reaping. And so the truth of the matter is, if I find myself surrounded by a bunch of people who I consider no-shows, I have to ask myself if A, am I sowing in good ground, or B, am I actually being the friend that I want? Because I think when we have those conversations, we can, one, think about places where we are kind of casting our pearls before swine and need to be rethinking, but then also think about relationships that we really should be giving more time and attention that we are not actively cultivating. And so as I wrap up today, I just want to say that the journey with love and boundaries continues. But one thing is for sure is I think the best way to attract what you are wanting is to become that person, is to become that representative of kindness, is to become that representative of compassion, is to become that representative of consistency, that representative of love, of celebration, of support. And then gradually, I am finding your people or your tribe will find you. And it is also not being afraid to release a relationship that is not meeting, fulfilling, or has run its course in our life. I love you. God bless you. Share, like, subscribe, tell a friend, tell a friend. All are welcomed. And I will see you next week at A Day in the Life of the Alpha Woman.